Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Axolotls in Trouble, How We Can Help Save Them, a learning podcast for kids.
Okay, get this right. Imagine a creature that can, like, regrow limbs.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, laughs at aging.
Wow.
And it's, like, you know, super important in like ancient mythology. It sounds kind of crazy, right? Like something out of fantasy.
Right, right.
But it's real.
It is.
So you asked us to do a deep dive.
Yes.
On axolotls. And
we've got a whole stack of research here.
Yeah, and we're going to go through it all.
Absolutely.
And we're going to uncover the most fascinating facts about these incredible creatures, understand what they're up against, and also explore, like, why they matter. So important.
Yeah. Culturally and scientifically.
It's you know what makes it even more interesting?
Mm.
Is that we're not talking about something that's, like, hidden away in a remote jungle. This is an animal.
Right.
That has this really complex story.
Nice.
And it interacts with human history and science and even art.
Yeah, yeah.
In some pretty surprising ways.
So to start, let's just, like, get down to basics. What is an axolotl? Like, really?
Yeah, great question. So it's an aquatic salamander.
Mm-hmm.
Scientifically, it's Ambystoma mexicanum. And get this. Mm-hmm. It's only found in one place in the whole world.
Oh, wow.
Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what else? What's unique about them?
Well, this is where it gets really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Axolotls, they exhibit what's called neoteny, which basically means they keep their larval features their entire lives.
What?
Yeah. So imagine, like, a tadpole.
Okay.
That just never turns into a frog.
Okay.
It just stays in that useful water-breathing form. That's the axolotl.
So, like, no awkward teenage phase.
No awkward teenage phase. They're rocking those feathery gills forever. It's a look.
Yeah, it is a look. But this neoteny thing,
right.
That's more than just, like, visual, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It tells us a lot about how they evolved and how they've adapted to their environment. So in the axolotl's case, the lakes and canals of Mexico, they provided, like, a really stable, watery habitat. So they didn't really need to transition to land.
So they're like, hey, life's good here.
Why bother growing up?
Yeah, exactly. I get it. And they get pretty big too, right?
They can. Yeah. They can reach up to 18 inches long.
Oh!
But most of them are around 6 to 8 inches.
Okay.
But despite their size, they're pretty lightweight, usually between 2 and 8 ounces.
Okay. So I've heard they're, like, popular pets.
They are.
And, I mean, it makes sense, right? They're cool to look at. But it's kind of weird, right? Because they're popular pets.
It's this paradox, right?
Yeah.
Because they're thriving in tanks and labs all over the world, but in their natural habitat.
Right.
They're critically endangered.
It's kind of sad, really.
Yeah. And it's a reminder of, you know, how we impact species in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the context.
Right. And speaking of the human connection, I mean, axolotls are really, really ingrained in Mexican culture, right?
Absolutely.
It's not just like a cute animal.
No, it's way more than that.
It's like in their art. It's in
their mythology.
You know?
It's really deep. So the Aztecs, right, they had this really profound understanding of the natural world. They linked the axolotl to, get this, Tzolotl.
Okay.
Their god of fire, lightning, and wait for it. Transformation.
Oh, hold on. Transformation.
Transformation.
Yeah. That's kind of perfect, right? Because
it is perfect, yeah.
Like, their whole superpower is
regeneration.
Regeneration. Like,
yeah, regrowing body parts, no big deal.
Like, it's nothing. It's amazing.
Yeah, and this connection to Inislot,
yeah.
It wasn't just like a fleeting myth.
Mm-hmm.
It really speaks to this deep understanding the Aztecs had about the axolotl's abilities and their role in life and death. The whole cycle.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And even Diego Rivera, like, he was a famous Mexican muralist. He included axolotls in his work, too.
He did, yeah. And that just further cements their place in Mexican art and cultural identity. It's amazing.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool how these creatures have, like, captivated us for centuries, you know?
Yeah.
Like, bridging the gap between ancient myths and modern art.
Yeah.
But sadly, their only natural home.
Yeah.
The Xochimilco canals.
Around Mexico City.
Right around Mexico City.
Yeah.
They're facing some pretty serious threats.
I was reading about that. Like, the very waterways that allowed them to thrive for so long are now under pressure from...
So much pressure.
So many things.
Yeah, from urbanization, pollution, even climate change.
Climate change, yeah.
It's a lot.
So you think about, like, agricultural runoff with pesticides and chemicals in it, and shrinking water levels because of drought, and then just the never-ending growth of Mexico City.
Yeah, it's not a good situation.
Not good at all.
No.
And the numbers are really scary. Like in 1998, I read that there were over 6,000 axolotls.
Per square kilometer.
Per square kilometer.
It's your milk goal.
And then by 2014, that number had dropped to just 36.
I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's insane. That's such a huge drop.
It's shocking.
It's such a short time.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it really highlights how urgent the situation is and why we need to come up with some really good conservation strategies.
Yeah, we need solutions.
Yeah.
And we need them now.
Yeah, absolutely. But even amidst all this, all these challenges, there's some hope.
Okay, good. So from what I understand, these conservation efforts are...
pretty interesting.
They're a mix of new stuff and old stuff.
Yeah, it's a cool blend of old and new approaches. It's not just about like fancy technology.
Yeah, right.
They're actually using traditional knowledge too.
Yeah. And this ecologist, Luis Zambrano.
Yes, Luis Zambrano.
And his team.
His team's doing amazing work.
They're doing really cool work.
Yeah.
They're using something called the Chapin technique, which is like a traditional farming method that's been around for centuries. And they're using that to make safe havens for axolotls.
Exactly. Right within the canals.
So, okay, I've heard of chinampas.
Yeah.
Like the floating gardens.
Floating gardens, right.
How does the Chapin technique work? Like practically, how does it work?
Okay, so imagine like taking these muddy cubes from the bottom of the canal.
Okay.
And you place them strategically to create these like little mini islands, right?
Okay.
And you can grow crops on them.
Uh-huh.
So these cubes, they're called chapins.
Mm-hmm.
And they not only provide the base for the floating gardens, but they also create a perfect habitat for the axolotls. So they've got shelter, a place to lay eggs, and it's like a refuge from predators.
So it's like they're bringing back this old farming method, but at the same time, they're creating
a safe space.
A safe space for axolotls.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Win-win.
I love that.
I love it.
But it's not just about the old ways, is it? I read that they're using technology, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're using modern techniques to keep an eye on water quality, track the axolotl populations, and even map out the best spots for these Chapin-based sanctuaries. It's really cool. And it's not just... like a science thing, when they release captive bred axolotls back into the wild, they actually have these ceremonies.
Oh wow!
With the local communities, emphasizing how culturally important these species are.
That's awesome.
It's really about like weaving together the science and the tradition and the community involvement to really create. Like a holistic conservation.
Yeah, they're making it like a celebration.
Yeah.
Not just like putting them back.
It's a celebration.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, so the regeneration, have to ask about that. It's not just limbs.
No. It goes way beyond limbs. Axolotls can regenerate parts of their hearts, their lungs, eyes, even portions of their spinal cord.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
It is, yeah.
I mean, we're always learning new things, but this is just like...
It almost seems like impossible, right?
Yeah. How do they do it?
Yeah, that's the big question, right?
Yeah.
Scientists have been trying to figure this out for centuries. Over 200 years of research.
Yeah.
And we're still, like, unlocking these secrets.
So what have we learned? What do we know? I know stem cells.
Yeah, stem cells...
play a role.
They do. So stem cells are those amazing cells that can turn into all sorts of... different cell types.
Yeah.
And they're like the body's building blocks.
Okay.
In most animals, that ability, it kind of feeds with age.
Mm-hmm.
But axolotls, their stem cells just, they don't really slow down. They keep multiplying and differentiating, even when they're adults.
So it's like they have this like built-in fountain of youth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Constantly renewing and repairing.
That's amazing. What else? Wow. Is there anything else that helps them do this?
Well, their immune system is pretty fascinating too.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, in most animals, when you get an injury, the immune system kicks in, right?
Right.
It causes inflammation to clean up the damage.
Yeah.
But that inflammation can also cause scarring, which messes with regeneration.
Yeah, scarring is kind of like the body's, like, quick fix.
Right, exactly. It's like a patch job.
It gets the job done. But
yeah, it's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
No. But with axolotls, it's like their immune system is really controlled.
Okay.
It's strong enough to fight off infection.
Yeah.
but it doesn't go crazy and create a ton of scar tissue.
Wow. So their immune system, like, knows...
It knows what to do.
Yeah, it knows just the right amount of inflammation to help with regeneration, but not block it.
That's amazing. That's really cool. And scientists are looking into all of this, right? Trying to figure out...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If it can help with human medicine. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because understanding how they do it, how axolotls regenerate, it could be huge for, you know, treating injuries and diseases that we don't have good treatments for right now.
Right.
Like imagine like spinal cord injuries, heart damage, even just like the effects of aging.
Wow. It's like we're holding the key.
But at a whole new level.
To like this whole new level of healing.
Yeah.
But with great power
right.
comes responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to make sure that we treat these creatures ethically.
Of course.
You know, there's this axolotl community white paper. It was published in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically lays out these guidelines for ethical practices in labs.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure they have good tanks and enrichment and regular checkups and all that.
It's good to know that the scientific community is taking that seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like we're learning so much from them.
Yeah.
You
have to take care of them.
Yeah. You know, through this whole deep dive, I keep thinking back to the connection to Mexican culture. It's it's clearly more than just like a cool animal to study.
No,
it's
deeper than that.
It's deeper.
It is. So remember the Aztecs and their god Atahualpa?
Yeah.
Well, the story goes that he transformed himself into an axolotl. Cool.
Really?
To avoid being sacrificed.
Wow.
Yeah. So he embodies this idea of defiance and rebirth.
So the axolotl isn't just like about transforming, it's about surviving.
Exactly.
In the face of danger.
Yeah, yeah.
A symbol of resilience.
The resilience, absolutely. And that symbolism, it's still relevant today. You know, the axolotl pops up all the time in Mexican art and literature.
Yeah.
And it's like a bridge between those ancient myths and what we're dealing with today. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a taxolotl is a living piece.
It's like this thread.
Of their history and culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Connecting the past and the present, it's powerful.
That's awesome. It's not just symbolism, though, right? Like, local communities are actually involved in conservation.
Big time. They're the ones out there on the front lines working with scientists, you know, cleaning the canals, planting native plants.
Oh, that's great.
Creating like artificial shelters for the axolotls.
It's like a real team effort.
It is, yeah. Everybody recognizes how important it is to save this icon, you know.
Yeah.
And they're getting creative with it too. There's this microbrewery in Mexico City that uses the axolotl as its mascot.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, conservation can take all sorts of forms, right?
Mm-hmm.
From like local initiatives to entrepreneurs. It's pretty cool.
That's a fun way to raise awareness.
It is.
Okay, so we've talked about all the bad stuff, the threats facing them in the wild.
Yeah.
But like, what about the future?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's what everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is some reason to be optimistic.
Okay, so it's not like totally hopeless?
No, not at all. I mean, the axolotl, it's a survivor, right?
Yeah.
It's been around for a really long time. It's adapted.
Right.
And the people working to save it, they're really dedicated, you know.
It's inspiring.
It is inspiring, yeah, for sure.
So what you're saying is that like science and the traditional way,
the local knowledge
and the community involvement,
yeah,
it can really make a difference.
It can.
And it is making a difference.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, like the Chapin technique.
Yeah.
Bringing that back, mm-hmm, it's helping, you know.
Yeah.
Creating those little pockets of good habitat in the canals.
Yeah.
And then researchers are also looking into ways to clean up the water and get rid of those invasive species that are causing problems.
It's like they're attacking it.
Multi-pronged approach.
From all sides.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not just about like focusing on one thing.
Yeah.
It's about understanding how everything is connected,
mm-hmm,
and dealing with the root of the problem, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about saving one animal.
Right.
It's about restoring the whole ecosystem.
The whole
of Xochimilco.
Yeah. And it's a good reminder that like saving one thing often helps a whole bunch of other things.
It's like this ripple effect, right?
Yeah.
It benefits the whole web of life.
Absolutely. And we can't forget the cultural
part
side of things too.
Huge.
Yeah.
So by involving the local communities and using these traditional practices, they're not just saving the axolotl.
Right.
They're saving a part
a piece of
Mexican heritage.
Of their history, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, through this whole deep dive.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about how the axolotl touches so many different things.
It does.
Defiance.
It's culture. It's history.
It's culture. It's like this symbol of how resilient nature can be.
Exactly.
You got it.
It's really cool. You've really captured it. The axolotl is this amazing blend of science and culture and conservation.
Yeah.
And its story, it's like a reminder that we're not separate from nature.
Yeah.
We're part of it.
We are a part of it.
And that our actions matter.
You know, our actions.
They can be good or they can be bad.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And the future of the axolotl, it's really up to us, like it is for so many other species. But it's also, you know,
Hopeful,
yeah. It shows us that even when things seem really, really difficult,
we can
find ways to live together and protect all this amazing diversity.
Yeah. What does this all mean for you listening?
Well, I hope it makes you, you know, look at the world around you with a little more wonder, a little more appreciation for all the amazing things that are out there and how connected we all are.
Maybe it makes you want to learn more about axolotls.
Yeah.
Maybe it makes you want to help with conservation.
Yeah, or just to take a minute and really appreciate the beauty and complexity of everything around you.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
And maybe the biggest takeaway is that even small things that we do.
Yeah, they matter.
Can make a difference. So if you're making choices in your life, right? Or if you're supporting like sustainable things or if you're speaking up for the planet.
Yeah, all those things.
All those things can help make a future where these creatures can thrive.
They all add up. Yeah, exactly.
What a journey.
It has been. It has been.
This deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
As we explore the amazing world.
The amazing axolotl.
Of axolotls. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode.